Oh, hey friends! Oh my god, TV was so good this week. I've got two fun shows that I am going to recap for you, and we can chat all about it. The first one is Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars Family Edition. I have been waiting for this one. Someone in our Facebook group requested that I, or didn't request it, but asked if I would be recapping this because it kind of goes along with what I do in this podcast, my opinions about stuff about life, and I thought it was so perfect, so this was just spot on. So shout out to my friend Holly for asking about this one. This is right up our alley, right friends? So Marriage Bootcamp starts, and it kind of goes over that same intro that I recapped last week when we talked about the four different families and their particular or individual issues. So this time it picks up from where Aaron Carter and his mother Jane were opening up their bags from the gift shop. So remember that this season is kind of geared towards the family road trip idea. So we start off in the gift shop where Aaron takes out his gifts from his bag, and it's a cash cow. Like I said last week, he gets emotional and he has this pressure for taking care of the family and bringing in money. So then his mother Jane goes and she picks her gift up out of her bag, and it's wads of cash with her kids' faces on them. Now I'm not sure if it's Nick, his brother Nick from Backstreet Boys. I wasn't sure if it was his picture or if it was Aaron's picture, but either way it goes, she was relying on her children to bring in money. She didn't grab me as that she cared a whole lot. It seems like she is one of those people who will just never apologize. Or if she does apologize, she's not sincere. It just doesn't feel sincere. She almost just feels arrogant in a way. And I've been following Aaron Carter, and I've been hearing, you know, his story and different things like that. And there are so many people online who attack him and talk about the way he looks and how much weight he's lost, and now the tattoo on his face, and just how he is these days, and everything that's going on between him and his brother and his sister-in-law. It feels icky because I just want to hug this guy, because he is clearly in a bad space to where he's not feeling right. He's not feeling normal, so to speak. He needs a hug. He doesn't need anybody tearing him down. He needs legit help. So I am so happy to see him on this show. And I really hope that that gorgeous Dr. Ish and that beautiful Dr. V can help him and his mother. She needs to see the light, and he's got to figure out how to work through and deal with what he's going through, his emotions. And Aaron Carter to me is just like a walking cry for help. He needs help, and we should give it to him instead of tearing him down. Aaron, I am rooting for you. I'm talking to you like you can hear me, like you will ever know who I am, but I'm rooting for you. We're all rooting for you, like Tyra Banks said, but not near as aggressive. So within their episode, you see that mom is blaming the dad. Aaron, you know, kind of goes on this thing where he says his wages were garnished because his parents were taking his money, stealing his money. He blames his mom about her alcohol issues. And in this whole thing, she is just not taking any responsibility. She's not feeling anything. She has a smirk or a smile on her face the whole time. And I just want to shake her. Like, listen to your son. Because I think it was Laura, somebody on the episode said, no matter what you feel is the truth, you have to validate what your child is saying. Aaron is hurting, and he's feeling a certain kind of way about how he feels about his childhood, and you have to acknowledge it, because the bottom line is that he feels this way, and it is affecting him and still bothering him, and it is taking over where he is in his life right now. So it is important to validate and listen and apologize, because whether it was this way or not, you did something to make your child feel that way. So apologize and then see how you can move forward. You can't just say things like, well, you should just forgive me. You should forgive it. Just let it go. Move on. You can't do that. That's not healthy. There's always going to be some type of resentment. You have to do what is best for your kid. And sometimes you might not feel like you are wrong, but if they do, you have to validate that. All right, Corey Feldman and his good-looking brother, Eden for a guy. I can't get over that, and I'm here for it. I love it. So inside of Corey's bag from the gift shop was a baby book. And when he opened up said baby book, it was empty. There were no baby pictures. And that was a really sad moment for me too. And he almost seemed unaffected by it. At the beginning, he was just like, yep, there's no pictures. And then Dr. V starts to open it up more to show it. There are no pictures at all in this baby book. Corey says that he had asked for some pictures, or maybe it was his brother Eden said that they asked for pictures of them growing up, and the mother has none. And she said, I may have some headshots of you from, you know, modeling or casting, that type of thing. How sad is that? They say Corey Feldman had been working since he was 3 years old. I mean, no wonder he is where he is in his life. And him and Eden, they have a lot of things to work out. The jury is still out on how I feel about Miss Courtney. Besides beautiful, I get nothing. I'm not sure what her role is or how she is. I can't form an opinion because she doesn't say a whole lot. She just sits there and looks pretty. And I mean, there might be just so much personality in that relationship that she can't say a whole lot. I'm not sure yet. So I hope that we get to see more from her. But one thing that did stick out was there was in her bag, she had glue and matches. Kind of what her thing was either you are going to be the glue that holds the family together, or you are going to be the match that lights it all up and destroys it. So she kind of has a couple of options here. So it almost sounds like there is not a whole lot of personality there, and she needs to speak up and figure it out. And Corey seems to love her a whole lot. So maybe she is that one person who can help glue the family back together, can help mend these and make things better for Corey and for Eden as well. Another thing that stuck out with me with Eden in his bag is he had shackles, and that was pretty sad. They said that if they didn't learn their lines that they would get beat. That's pretty tough. This season is probably going to be kind of a hard watch. Can't imagine beating my child, especially for not learning lines and maybe forgetting lines or wanting to go play instead of rehearsing. That's a whole lot of pressure on a little person. Think about how much pressure it is on an adult to get a part or learn lines, you know, whatever the circumstance is. It's so much pressure on a mature person and headspace. And think about those little kids. That's why you see all these cute kid child stars, and you don't know how they are feeling inside. They look happy and successful, but they don't have a chance to be a kid and not have a worry in the world. It's a lot of weight on little people's shoulders. Okay, the next thing that we see is Alexis Bellino and her mother. And Alexis is upset about her divorce and everything, you know, coming out there on her divorce. And then her mother, in her gift bag, she had a Happy Mother's Day card that said, "I hate you," from Alexis. And Alexis gets pretty emotional. She says that she feels really sad that she did that, and she was so upset with herself for doing that. But we've got to acknowledge those feelings that she felt at that age. I mean, kids are pretty honest, and there's a lot of issues between her and her mother, Penelope. And Penelope seems to feel more like, yeah, I feel bad. Yes, I could have done better, but that's how I was raised too, so just deal with it. And just like Alexis said, you're supposed to want to do better for your children. You are supposed to go above and beyond to make sure that your kids are okay. And those mistakes that yours have made before you, you've got to fix that for your kids. It's your job to do that. So that was kind of sad to see that instead of saying, you know what, you're right, I know you blame me for things, I could have did things differently, forgive me, let's move forward. It's, oh no, that's how I had to deal with it too, so you'll be okay. You know, that kind of thing really, it goes with you all through your life because you don't feel the love and support that you're looking for. You, again, I'm going to use that word validation because we do want validation from our families, especially from our mothers and fathers. And if you can't acknowledge, I'm having issues with the way things are, that's going to really, really ruin our relationship. And it's going to be hard for me to trust you, to look at you, and to want to come to you for help or anything because I feel like I can do bad all by myself, you know? Okay, the next thing, or the next group is Laura Govan and her family. So Laura was the first one to go up and open up her gift bag, and it was literally a box of shit. Also, her mother and father got the same things. And what was funny about that, and not funny as in funny, haha, but gosh, Laura's dad, Michael, is just not here for anything. He is saying, you know, she's full of shit. That's just what it is. She lies a lot. She doesn't speak the truth, or, you know, she's not honest about things. She's a bullshitter. That's what she does. I can't imagine having that type of relationship with my dad because you're supposed to be able to go to your dad for everything, for anything. And like Laura said, she said, you're supposed to listen to me. You are supposed to trust me. Like, you can't just make up your own assumptions about things or just brush me off as a liar. So if you didn't watch, then you know that Laura's big thing is that she was molested, and it came out that it was by a family member. Apparently she didn't tell her family, or at least her father, for 10 years or so. And he says, well, what do you want me to do about it now? But now it's also coming to light that he's not sure that he believes her in the first place. That also feels icky. That really sucks because you gotta believe your kids about that kind of stuff. There would never be a part of me who, if my kid said something like that to me, that I would not move forward or get them counseling to figure things out and just help them, period, point blank. I mean, if it's a lie, it'll come out, but I would never, just like Laura said, I would never, the first thought would not be, oh, you're lying. No, that's not right. That's not good parenting. So also with that being said, Michael also got the full of shit box as well. Something that I wrote in my notes is that dad is an asshole. He said that he was there to get help and to fix things, but he's got to come out of himself. He is so stuck in his own head and his blasé attitude that I can't even handle it. And then he also had a box of dentures, and the box closes. So something about keeping his mouth closed about things. You can keep your mouth closed about things all you want, but when it comes to your kid, you speak loud and proud. There's no way that I could live my life knowing that something happened to my child and I just closed my mouth. Who does that? Even if you are afraid to confront the abuser, you find somebody who will, i.e. the cops. I don't care if it's your brother. I don't care if it's your father. I don't care if there's anything any closer to somebody. You put them where they need to be, because not only did they hurt your child, but they are probably going to hurt other people. And it's probably happened before your child. That person is not a good human who does something like that. And I don't care who you are or what you've been through. Don't do it. Gloria, her mother, got the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And Gloria, I hope I haven't been saying Gloria this whole time, but Laura said that her mother, Gloria, would always see things, or Laura says that her mother would never speak up for her, that she would just kind of brush things off of the mud, kind of watch and not say anything, just not being very outspoken. And Dr. Ish said, he kind of called her out, and I was here for it. He said, you have a voice, and I hope by the end of this, these 10 days, that you will speak your truth and speak up for yourself as well as your children. And I am with Dr. Ish on that. There is nothing worse than seeing somebody just close mouth, not saying anything, especially when you have something to say. So I really hope that he gets his wish, because that is my wish too. I need Gloria to step up and do something, because that husband of hers, Michael, will probably simmer down if she stood up for herself and for her children, and probably for her grandchildren too. Laura told us about a time where I guess they were going on a family vacation out of the state or out of the somewhere. Laura said that her four children could not go. Do you know that those grandparents and her sister Gloria from Basketball Wives LA as well took her kids out of school without her permission and took them on vacation? Yo, talk about losing your shit. If you were to do that to me, I can't even tell you what I would do. If I said no, there is not one reason that you should be able to or feel comfortable enough to go and pick up my kids from school. That is insane. And the grandfather was saying, well, I'm the grandfather, I can do what I want to do. And Laura said, I am the mother, you need to listen to me. If I say no, that's what it is. And yes, Laura, 1000% team Laura. And I know you, girl, I saw you before on Basketball Wives. I'm sure you did lose your shit. Kudos to you for being on this marriage boot camp family edition with your family, because I probably would have cut them off a long time ago. But clearly you know them better than I do, and I'm sure that there is some love there. But I'm angry for you, sister. That is not okay. And I really hope that that Michael turns around, because he is something. He is absolutely something. Okay, so in the next segment, they talk about, you know, you gotta have a family photo when you go on a road trip. And this exercise was they all had to come together, the four different groups, and pick which key that they would have for their hotel rooms, so to speak, for the remainder of the time in marriage boot camp. And so there were four different keys. There was highway to hell, out of gas, high road, and detour. So they were all supposed to unanimously come up with who should have what key, like depending on their family issues and things that they go through or what they have gone through. So after a little bit of debate, not too much, they came up with Aaron Carter and his mother have the highway to hell. Alexis Bellini and Penelope have the detour key. Corey Feldman chose the high road key. And on this one, Corey and his brother Eden were, you know, kind of butting heads a little bit. They didn't agree, but they did end up going with the high road. And then Laura Govan went with out of gas. So it was pretty interesting to see their different hotel rooms. And it looked like Corey Feldman's was talking about a divide. It was kind of a mix between a canyon and the wild, wild west. And it just kind of showed that the families are just going in different directions. Laura Govan, they had kind of a circus theme. Lots of things about liars and different things like that were on the walls. Aaron Carter had the Hollywood themed hotel room. Alexis Bellini, I didn't really get a lot of what was in her room. I know that they immediately started doing these postcards, and I'm going to figure out more about what that's like or what that is about in the episode, writing postcards and putting them in the mailboxes in the house. By the end of the episode, Aaron Carter and his mother Jane got into it pretty good. It looked like Mother Jane was laying in her bed and she was pissed. So I'm kind of feeling like we're getting two different sides of her, because when she's in front of the camera, she's all, everything is fine. I don't know why he's so upset. You know, it is what it is. Let's move forward. Let's heal from this. You know, lots of just even kill type of things where Aaron is losing his shit a lot. Then you see her like with, you know, how the lights are out, but the camera's still going and you don't always know when the camera is recording. She's losing her shit talking about some, you lied or you're not telling the whole truth and blah, blah, blah. And she's pretty pissed off. And Aaron is like, what did I lie about? What are you talking about? And she's just, they're kind of going back and forth. She keeps threatening that she's going to leave. They get together and they're talking in their confessionals again, or the in the moment, you know, she's getting mad again. And he's saying everything that he's been saying this whole time about her alcoholism and different things like that. And then she says something like, you're no Justin Bieber, and which is just an asshole thing to say, right? Like, you don't say stuff like that. He's Aaron Carter. Who cares who you are trying to compare him to? You know what? He's Aaron Carter. He helped you. Yes, you are his momager, but he was bringing in money, so you're welcome. So for you to say something so assholey is just mean and ridiculous, and shame on you, Mama Jane. I know Aaron's all defending you on Twitter right now, and that just shows what kind of good human he is, because I'm not here for it. But you know what? That's his mother, so it is what it is. I get it. But anyway, so she gets up and she's ready to leave, and she's like, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. And she takes off her mics and everything, and Aaron's like, bye-bye, have a nice day. Oh, you're leaving? Okay, see ya. And then he like snaps back for a second, and he's like, oh shit, I gotta go. I've got my checks in her purse, and she might take them or she might spend them. And that was such a real moment to me. And it just justifies everything and how he feels about his mother. He can't trust her with money. How sad is that? Even today. So I really hope that Dr. Ish and Dr. V are going to be able to help all of them, because they all seem like they can use the help. So far, Alexis's issue with her mother, Penelope, probably seems the least amount of work. I mean, not negating anything that they go through, because obviously they need to be there, and I'm glad that they are there, but I hope that they get a lot out of this in the short amount of time that they need, and that I think that they might have the most hope for being able to fix their issues, because even Penelope seems like she wants to be there, and she does want to move forward, and she does want to help. So I hope that she is open to it and that they do get the help that they need, because like I said, I feel like they might be the, for lack of better words, easiest case. I think that the Feldmans are going to be okay, probably. I think that the most work is definitely going to be the Govans and the Carters. So that was the episode. More to come. We will be recapping that every week. Just stay with me and let me know what you guys' thoughts are. So that was the end of the episode, and I think that this is going to be a very good season. So let's all keep in touch and chat about it on Twitter when it is on, and I will of course be recapping it weekly. The next show that we are going to recap is The Cartel Crew. If you are not watching this, you have got to. It is so good. This is season 2, and last season was pretty good, but this season is giving me everything that I need. So the episode starts off with Marie looking fabulous leaving jail. Who looks that good walking out of jail, even though she is a crying mess and she is just all kinds of distraught and all over the place? Sounds like she got into an altercation with her family. I think it started with her brother, and her mother jumped in and it got physical. They called the cops on her. The cops got there and took her to jail, unfortunately. Remember, she is with that equally good-looking man of hers, Michael Blanco. Basically, her family disowned her, doesn't want anything to do with her because she chose them over her. He's got a checkered past. Who doesn't? They don't want him with her, and she's got a child by him, a cute little girl. They are not here for it at all. So she, like I said, they opened up the scene with her leaving jail, and she looks beautiful. So then we cut to Kat and her son De Niro, who, okay, can we just say it? Is there anybody ugly on this show? I mean, they are the most beautiful people ever. Because Kat, I saw her on Black Ink Crew with Caesar, and God, I thought she was drop dead gorgeous then. She just gets prettier and prettier every time I see her. Because that, no, I was about to say husband, maybe one day. But that father of her child, Eddie, God, they are just beautiful. That's all I got. I'm not even gonna go into how I feel about these people. But Kat and her son De Niro are seriously the cutest thing. Baby daddy Eddie gets out of jail. He's been in jail for about 3 years. Issues there is that they were together and he cheated on Kat while she was pregnant. Also, he went to jail when cute little De Niro was about 1 year old. So he has been raising him or keeping in touch with De Niro while he's been in prison. It sounds like Aunt Kat says that she doesn't really discipline him a whole lot, to which Father Eddie says, yeah, I can tell. And she says, let a kid be a kid and you're being too hard on him, while cute little De Niro is throwing food across the table. However, he did do that on accident. But Kat threw a piece of steak at him on purpose, and you can tell Eddie wanted to lose his shit, but he kept it together, at least for the cameras. We don't know what happened after the fact. But she has said that when he got out of jail, he was looking like a snack and she had to try some. So I'm here for it. I mean, when Eddie came on the scene, I was like, okay, Eddie. And then that whole, you know, walking back and forth thing with his like suspender type things when they were introducing him, I was here for it. Kat, I'm not mad at you. I mean, I kind of am mad at you because I do kind of agree with Stephanie about the whole cheating thing, but you know, no judgments here. My vision might get a little cloudy too. Next, we cut to Nicole and Torrey Craig. Torrey Craig, he plays for the Denver Nuggets. And that's one of the first things she says was, I'm with Torrey Craig and he's in the NBA. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I am not a fan of Nicole. Never have been. And I really wish that she would quit doing stuff to her face. I mean, she's not an ugly girl. She's pretty, but she's just so fakey. You know what I mean? Like, I want to like her. And I just feel like there's something there that I probably could like her. But it's just the way she comes off. And maybe it's bad editing. I don't know. But I'm just not a fan. But I do like her brother, though. But another thing, and it's kind of shallow, but I'm just gonna say it because she freaking wore it twice. She had on this pink bodysuit thing with lace at the bottom, and I don't know, I guess I'm old and I don't wear stuff like that, but it just seemed really inappropriate and not cute. And I mean, the girl's body is everything, so I get wanting to show it off. And again, maybe it's I'm old and I don't like these styles, but I couldn't with this outfit. And you know, she's straddling him in the middle of this basketball court thing, and it seemed really juvenile to me. Now, I don't know how old she is or what, but she said it's not her first relationship, that everybody else were clowns that she dated. But what killed me was, and when I knew that the relationship was doomed, was when she said, he is the perfect man for me. And I know that because I'm a freak and he's a freak and the sex is good. And I'm like, facepalm. Like, honey, if that's the perfect man for you and you're going to be together for the next 60 years, sex is the last thing that you're going to be thinking of. I mean, I get it. You think he's hot. And that's all that matters. But sex stops, you know, or maybe not stop, but it's not all the everything anymore after you maybe have a couple kids and have a home and a job. Well, I don't know, that probably really doesn't apply to people on TV, because just being them is their job, which I might be a little bit jealous of, but you know, it is what it is. Anywho, bottom line is that does not make him the perfect man. That just makes him good in bed. So I just hope you get everything together. She also said that they share feelings and stuff. So yeah, that's it. I don't want to see anybody hurt or sad. So hopefully, Nicole, I hope this works for you, but it won't. But you know what? Prove me wrong. And the reason why I did bring up that outfit is because later on, she's wearing the exact same thing, but now it's in white. And I just don't understand it. There's a lot of these fashions that I'm like, okay, I get it. This one, I do not. But did I mention I do like her brother so far? Okay. And then I think her name is Diana. It's spelled D-A-Y-A-N-A. And I can't remember how to spell it. And I don't think anybody said it on this episode. But she has four kids. She's really, really cute. She's just this tiny little thing with her four babies. Makes me jealous because I've had one and I'm about five of her size. But basically, her and the children's father had been in prison. Father is still in prison. And I think he still has like 14 more years. As a matter of fact, he does, because that cute little son of hers says, so I'll be 22 when dad gets out of jail. Isn't that heartbreaking? And her kids, they seem to really have it together. That oldest one, I want to know her more, because she gave me like big sister mom vibes. Like maybe when mom's not there or when mom wasn't there, she stepped up. I was here for it and I like that little girl. And then the time where, oh, when the little daughter cried and just cried because she misses her daddy. Oh, the heartstrings were pulled. So sad. Oh, God, that has to sting to have parents incarcerated. I can't even imagine. But we are all meeting here because mom, Diana, she has been dating a lady named Isis, and now Isis is in jail. So Isis was with her last season. And she introduced her kids to ISIS. They got attached. You know, they're all one big happy family. And now ISIS is in jail too. So hopefully ISIS gets out soon, because these kids need no more heartbreak and people that they love going to prison. So fingers crossed, I'm rooting for you, ISIS. I didn't really catch what she did either. Okay, in the next scene, Stephanie and Kat are talking. They're best friends. If you remember Stephanie from last year, she was signed to Young Money with Lil Wayne. Looks like there's trouble in paradise. Lil Wayne is not answering her calls. She's not working. And she thinks that it is because Wayne's fiance started some rumors that she slept with Lil Wayne and the whole label. I really hope that that's not true. And I believe that it's not true so far. I really didn't hear anything about it. But it sounds like one of those catty, jealousy type of things. Stephanie is another one of those beautiful things and looks good. Body's on point. And so maybe there was some jealousy there. I'm not sure. I don't even know who his fiance is. I didn't even know that he was engaged. So I guess I gotta do my research. Anywho, Kat tells Stephanie that she's back with Eddie and they're living together, and she didn't see it coming, but it happened. And she's happy because she wants De Niro to have his family. And Stephanie is not here for it. And she says, whoa, you can't just forget everything that he did. He will do it again. And Kat says, well, you know, this is the choice that I've made. I've forgiven him. You have to too. I'm throwing him a party. Come have fun and everything will be okay. So the next scene, this cuts to the party for Eddie's release. And I just want to say that I know this party too well. The first thing that they show is the dominoes table. I can guess that there's a table with spades going on and maybe poker somewhere. Somebody's gambling somewhere. Maybe some craps on the ground. This is my type of party. There's food, alcohol, and you know, Kat's telling everybody food over there, alcohol over there. These are the kind of parties that my family throws. So I am here for it. I know exactly how that went down. And then I've got a friend. Shout out to Sarah. She is Hispanic and she talks about how their families start from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And that made me think of it because everything started with daylight. And then by the end, when he is making his little speech and saying, thank you, it's dark. So I am here for it in those types of parties. How fun. I just want to say I adore Marie and she comes through in her red lipstick and I am here for it. Her in that blonde hair and that red lipstick. I said, yes, honey, right then and there as soon as I saw her. She tells the girls that she got charged with domestic violence and battery with her brother and mom, and Kat tells her that she will probably get at least 21 days and Marie is not here for it. She is very upset. She does not like jail. I mean, who does? She doesn't want to go back to jail. She is the only family that her little daughter has. And that just made me sad because she seems like such a passionate person. And I mean, I know she was fighting, but it sounds like it was a group thing. Not excusing it, but it sucks. And for that to go down with your family and they call the police on you, just like Nicole's brother was like, if I got into it with my sister, I just don't think that I would call the cops. And that's how I feel. But, you know, we weren't there. We don't know the situation. And obviously, I love her. So I feel like it shouldn't have happened. But it did. And I will pray that she is okay and that she did not have to serve jail time. Okay, another thing that I wrote here is Stephanie is every friend, every good friend. She's watching out for her friend Kat. And she is here at this party. And she doesn't want to be. She's there as a good friend, but she is watching Eddie and she is just not feeling the situation. She doesn't trust him. She doesn't want Kat with him. And she is going to let him know exactly how she feels. So Stephanie ends up going to Eddie's job. Now I'm going to stop there. She should have never went to his job. That's just not the right thing to do. And we learn that Kat had no idea that she even did that or had even been planning to do that. You don't go to somebody's job ever because it's not a good look for you. And two, you're messing up somebody's livelihood and just don't burn those kinds of bridges. So she goes to his job and tells him that the relationship was rushed and that Kat deserves better. She deserves loyalty. And he lets her talk a little bit, and then he does this shrug thing and, you know, tells her to mind her own business, which was giving me extreme Lil Fizz or Drew vibes from Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, if you watch that. In that moment, those two were the same person. But she says that she deserves better and that she needs to stop getting with guys who drive her down the gutter. So basically she tells him that he's not good enough for Kat and that she knows that it's not gonna work out. To that he says, mind your own business, I can be a changed man. She says, no, a cheater is always a cheater. And he says, no, people can change. I agree, people can change, but I know that with me, I couldn't trust that person again. But you know, Kat obviously can. So you gotta let her grow into who she is and figure things out for herself. If it's not meant to be, she will figure it out, and then you either make the decision to support her and be there for her when things fall apart, or you don't. So that is the episode. Very good one. I am all in for a Cartel Crew and all of these beautiful people. We will watch this together and talk about it. So you can find me at Say What's She on all social media. You can also join the Facebook group. Search for Say What, She and click join group. And I will let you write in. Tell me how you feel about these two shows, Marriage Boot Camp and The Cartel Crew. You gotta watch them. They're both really, really good. I am here for it. And we are going to chat because we are now best friends. So enjoy your week. I will talk to you soon. Bye, friends.